East and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
You're listening to the new Spirit FM, Christian hit music.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be good.
Hello, good evening. Thank God for another Saturday. This is Eben. We are here this evening. Last week I wasn't around. Thank God for a new... Okay, all right. Thank God. And I have Pastor Billy with me this evening. Interesting times we are in. I mean, this week I look at the news and... yesterday I had... I saw this video. Accra High students slapping the teacher and... I just was like, what is wrong with this generation? And, well, I like the way the GES, I said the GES, Nagrat has responded to the things happening in our schools. So they are really making their, case. And I'm coming to read it as one of the news items I'm looking at. It's important because the way things are going, we just can't fold our arms and just watch the children misbehave in schools freely. Just like it's just wrong. It's just wrong because over the years, the last recent years, it became obvious that the government was just messing up education. Yes, they're free, good, but beyond the free, the system was just being messed up because control from headmasters, their hands were tied and all that, they couldn't do anything. And it's part of the things we are seeing. So now GES is really up in arms. But first, let me just address one or two news items from Israel, and then we'll go on to main issues. All right, so this headline says, Iran warns no deal as Israel makes preparations for strike on nuclear sites. The U.S. has obtained new intelligence suggesting that Israel is making preparations to strike Iranian nuclear facilities, even as the Trump administration has been pursuing a diplomatic deal with Tehran. Multiple U.S. officials familiar with the latest intelligence told CNN. And over the years, it was like, Israel could not get to Iran, their planes cannot reach there. But last year, Israel really shocked Iran when they were able to send 120 warplanes into the Iranian airspace, bombed as many things as they could, returned back to Israel. So that alone was a game changer. Look at what happens in Yemen. They send their warplanes, go to Yemen, go and bomb, and come back over 2,000 kilometers. And so now it's clear they can reach Iran fully. And Iran knows they can reach. So this whole Israel-Iran alliance, war thing, it makes it very complicated because the Iranians are fully backing they are virtually empowering the Yemenis to be attacking Israel. So you have this Iranian proxy around Israel, the Yemen, then part of the Syrian rebels, part of the rebels in Iraq, and all of them enemies of Israel. So it's quite a complicated thing. But, the U.S. government, Trump, is also trying to negotiate peace through the Saudi side, and then through, they've been having meetings directly with Iran to talk about the Iranian nuclear deals and I mean all that. But looks like it's not going to yield anything for now. All right. Then this headline says the great betrayal. Western powers will turn on Israel during June conference. So in a move that should alarm every Bible-believing Christian and supporter of Israel, world leaders are gathering under the banners of France and Saudi Arabia this June to press forward with a plan that threatens the very survival of the Jewish state, the unilateral recognition of a Palestinian state. This effort, cloaked in diplomatic jargon and humanitarian rhetoric, is nothing short of a strategic campaign to delegitimize Israel, embolden terror, and dismantle biblical promises that have stood for millennia. Let's be clear, this conference isn't about peace, it's about pressure. It's about punishing Israel for defending itself. It's about paving the way for a terror state on Israel's borders that would pose a direct and constant threat to the only democracy in the Middle East. France, under President Emmanuel Macron, and Saudi Arabia, one of the most prolific funders of Palestinian causes, are joining hands to host this dangerous summit in New York. This unholy alliance between Western secularism and Islamic autocracy is directing the global community towards recognizing a Palestinian state, regardless of Israel's security, sovereignty, and the reality on the ground. British Foreign Secretary David Lammy, presenting the UK's new left-leaning government, has confirmed active talks with France and Saudi Arabia to formalize this recognition. France's Foreign Minister Jean-Noël Barrot went so far as to call Israel's military actions in Gaza indefensible, whilst advocating for a European review of economic ties with Israel. Canada, under the new seated Prime Minister Mark Carney, has joined Britain and France in a joint statement warning Israel of further concrete actions if it doesn't halt operations in Gaza. These are not fringe statements. These are major Western powers, so-called allies of Israel, signaling their willingness to sanction, isolate, and undermine Israel whilst handing legitimacy and resources to its enemies. Then we have Messianic Jewish couple killed in anti-Semitic attack outside DC Jewish Museum. So a gunman fatally shot two Israeli embassy workers outside the Capitol Jewish Museum in DC on Wednesday night, shouting "Free Palestine" in an anti-Semitic attack that shocked the Capitol and drew widespread condemnation from leaders. The victims were identified as Yaron Lishinki and Sarah Lynn Milgram, two employees who were dating and worked for the Israeli embassy in DC. The young man purchased a ring this week with the intention of proposing to his girlfriend next week in Jerusalem, according to a report. Israel's ambassador to the U.S. told reporters they were a beautiful couple who came to enjoy an evening in Washington's cultural center. According to a report, Lesinki and Milgram were Messianic Jews, a term that refers to individuals who are ethnically Jewish, but who also believe in Jesus as the Messiah and Savior. Messianic Jews are sometimes called Jewish Christians. Okay, now let's come back to Ghana, our own place. NAGRAT demands tough measures against indiscipline in schools. The National Association of Graduate Teachers, NAGRAT, has issued a stern ultimatum to the Ghana Education Service, GES, demanding immediate reforms to tackle increasing violence and indiscipline in schools. The association is calling for the announcement of tough disciplinary powers by May 31st, 2025, or it will be forced to take on specified action to protect teachers. In a statement, NAGRAT detailed alarming incidents of student attacks on teachers and the presence of weapons such as guns and machetes in schools. The association said the school environment is becoming increasingly unsafe not only for teachers but also for students who are serious about learning. Citing examples, Nagrat mentioned Mr. Walter Yesoto of Christian Methodist High School, who was attacked for preventing students from cheating during exams. Mr. Ebenezer Ketia of Accra High School, who was assaulted for enforcing dress code rules. That's what I saw yesterday, the students slapping the teacher. I'm so disgusting and annoying seeing it. The group also referenced a student at Okes who was recently caught with a firearm, and that's serious. Nagrat attributed the rise in violence to several key issues: admission of students who failed the basic certificate, BEC, and then political interference in school disciplinary process, the inability of school authorities to repeat underperforming students, bureaucratic challenges in removing disruptive students, and the situation is deteriorating fast if not addressed. We fear we'll soon hear of deaths, rape, and extreme violence in our schools, the statement warned. To combat the crisis, Nagrat's National Council is demanding the implementation of the following measures. One, the public directive from the GES Director General empowering school authorities to immediately dismiss any student who assaults a teacher or staff member. Two, automatic dismissal of any student student found in possession of a weapon. Three, and that one I should even add, and then hand it over to the police. I mean, we have to treat them as criminals because that's what they are. Three, authority for school heads to repeat students who fail to meet academic standards without needing approval from higher authorities. Nagrat gave the GES until May 31st, 2025 to announce these measures. Failure to do so will trigger a series of actions by the union aimed at ensuring teacher safety in schools. I agree with them. I back them 100%. And even for the third point, authority for the students to repeat, students who fail, it should be known to the students. If you fail for bad performance, you are repeated, you don't qualify for free SHS again. Now you pay fees. No, you see, it's like as if they are being pampered and this whole thing. If we are giving free education and you misbehave and you are repeated, then now you don't qualify for the free again. You see, and parents have to then now sit with their children and tell them, go and learn in school. Because if you go and misbehave, I don't have money to pay fees. You see, it's like an auto production, mass production, just conveyor belts, push them on, wabon, you just move them through, and then look at all the mess we are seeing in our schools now. And then another network, or the same, City reported under reports again. Let me read that one. This headline says, teachers may arm themselves if attacks persist, Nagrat warns. This is serious. I'm not surprised with this because I remember beginning of the year, I said it here. Two prophets who I respect warned that if we don't address the school issues, we'll get to the point where there will be serious gang wars in our schools. And I remember the words of the prophets. One described it vividly, where there will be gang wars, that you will need security to come in to separate, and that's serious if nothing is done to curb the way things are going. And I saw a video this week. This is radio, so I can't show the video, but it was sent by a teacher, and it's very scary when you see it's like gang. They are holding guns, locally made guns, machetes, and like this aquatic beads and things that they waste, and all this security protection, and they are filming themselves, and it's like it's out there. I saw it. The school in the central region. When I saw it, I said, no, this is really getting something else. Because you see, they don't even see anything wrong with what they are doing, to the point where they think it's fun. But it's not fun. There's a level where it's normal student stubbornness and all that. But it crosses a certain line where now the demons take charge, and now they are manipulated spiritually. So that's where this whole crave for power, they will go and sleep in cemetery for power. They will do all these things just to be able to maintain the control and the power that they have. So it's quite disturbing. And a teacher has sent a message. It says teachers are really suffering. It says, I mean, there's one teacher who said this week, no, last week or so, a student was having bullets. They saw live bullets. He was having bullets. You see, a bullet doesn't just hang in there. A bullet goes hand in hand with a gun. So if somebody, a student, is caught with bullets, the question now is, where is the gun? I mean, this is where we are headed. And greetings to Lady Pastor Hetty. It's a while we talk, though. We have to talk. Okay, good evening anyway. So your comments on this news, the GES issue, and their warning. I agree with them, seriously. I do seriously agree with them.
Yeah. good evening to listeners. It's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with everything they've said. Let me begin with auto promotion thing.
Yeah,
I don't know what really brought about this auto promotion. I ask myself, those people who brought about this, is it policy?
Yeah.
Have they worked before? Now, if it's a workplace,
mm-hmm.
every year they do how do they call it?
Appraiser.
And the appraiser, you are promoted based on your performance.
Yeah.
If you underperform, then you cannot be promoted.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the security before you are promoted. You go through a test interview.
Mm-hmm.
If you underperform, you are not promoted. Even political parties, if you underperform, you will not be voted into power.
Yeah, as we just saw.
Yes, that is it.
Yeah.
So how come students who are being trained to become leaders of our nation, who are becoming directors, managers, heads of institutions, we are saying that whether you perform well or you don't perform well, you are allowed to move on.
Yeah.
Now, this is what happens. What it means is that I don't need to work hard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to learn anything because I will still be promoted. This is the picture. This is the kind of training that we are giving to them. Yeah. That don't bother yourself.
Oh, yeah. Don't strive for the best.
No. So we will, don't do that. And we will just promote you. But if we live in a nation where people will not work, people will not learn, and yet they'll be promoted, then where are we heading to as a nation?
Do you know my worry? This thing is in the West. It's happening in the West, in America, and in Europe. You see, they brought this whole thing. You see, we are just accepting anything that the whites dictate to us. So they brought in a removal of punishment from schools. And then the things that they've paid and they are still paying a heavy price for in their societies, they introduced it to us and we gladly accepted it. Thank God that we were able to stand and resist that comprehensive sexuality education aspect, because it's a package.
And the unfortunate thing is that now we have adopted this, mm-hmm. and we are using it.
Yeah.
Now, the same people who brought this to us,
yeah,
they are now rejecting it.
They've regretted.
Yeah, they have regretted. They are now rejecting it. They are crying because they are being punished
for this action
they have taken.
It's true.
And we are now embracing it.
Yeah.
We are now pushing it.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, we are different from them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've had opportunity to work with white people, and I'm not saying that some of them
a teacher sends a picture of a car windscreen smashed. One of my colleague's car was destroyed this week.
No. You see, most white kids are trained such that if their thing is white, they will say it's white. But we are not like that. Most blacks are not like that. Now, even the person is holding the thing, when you ask him, the person will say that it is not true. I'm not holding it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why I remember, what's the name? The late President Jerry Rawlings said something that, I mean, we are two different people. Mm-hmm. Our upbringing is different from your upbringing. The way we do our things are different from the way you people do our things.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that we living in Ghana are different from people living in US.
Mm-hmm.
But aside that, are we not people who reason? We know what is right. We know what is wrong. We know what have been tested and worked for us.
Yeah.
Our forefathers used to discipline us. And today, we are where we are, saying that because of that discipline, that has brought us to where we are now.
Yeah, our cultural values.
Yes. And now, if you are throwing this thing away, where are we heading to? And the other thing that, I mean, the picture that you just showed to me, I have issue about generic punishment,
mm-hmm.
where a student does something in that and it affects entire class or school.
Yeah.
Because some people, I mean, these days people are doing that because let's go and do it and all of us will have to go home.
Yeah.
When after investigation, you can really identify those who did that.
A corporate should be punished separately.
Yes. And WAEC exams, we know schools that have been victims of a year group that have been victims of such case.
Yeah.
Why should it be the case when we know that maybe it can be a particular school or area? So why don't we punish those people? But it must affect everybody. If you don't stop this, then somebody can decide that this year I want to spoil the whole thing, so let me go and do this. It will affect every student. It will affect our year group. This is happening.
I see it as it's a lazy approach of fixing this.
Exactly.
It's a lazy approach because instead of really getting to the bottom of the issue, we just make it, okay, it's the whole class type of thing. You know, it's not a fair means of punishing people because it's like people are talking in a class and then you say, I come to punish the whole class. It's not everybody who was talking. It's not a fair system of fishing out or punishing corporates in a situation. And you see, he has sent God have mercy on this generation. He sent a message again. He said, when you even tell them to study, they tell you AI is here. You know when I was talking about AI when we started, like off air before we started. It's this generation, we are at a point of, we call it the right word is inflection. We are at a point of inflection where we are either headed the doom way of life or the brighter side of life. It's a choice for everybody. You see, and it's very worrying seeing how this generation, the youth now in schools, are already having a bad mindset about learning and life and think there's no need to put in hard work to achieve anything. So with this onset of technology and all that, this generation is really in serious trouble.
We have created that as adults.
Mm-hmm.
We have created that. Now, go to school. If a student misbehave, you cannot.
Mm-hmm.
Teachers, heads of schools, their hands are tied down, and they cannot punish students.
Yeah.
If you dare punish somebody, you either be asked to go home or transferred,
demoted. Some have been demoted,
and it's because maybe somebody did not bring up the child and the child has been misbehaving in the home.
Mm-hmm.
The child goes out there and still want to display the same thing in the school.
Mm-hmm.
And if you dare stop that child, it means that somebody sitting somewhere will say that, why do you do this? You don't have rights, and therefore you are asked to go home, you are asked to be transferred to a different place. Now, I watched a short video by a teacher in Ghana. It's on TikTok, and the teacher says that a lady, she says that Now, whatever policies that you have, you people have brought to ask, me, by God's grace, I have my job.
Yeah.
Now, I have my family to take care of.
You protect yourself.
If your child misbehave, me being a teacher, I'm trying to help the child. And you as a parent or as a policy maker, you don't want me to.
Yeah.
Why should I worry myself? Because I go to class and whilst teaching, students are on their phones when they are not allowed to bring their phone.
But have you forgotten that the previous government was pushing to give them phones and tablets?
So what, the child will not concentrate. And if I dare punish this child, I cannot even, because I have to write. Why should I bother myself to go and write? I will only teach
and go.
And go. And if this happens in our schools, then where is the future of this nation? Where a child is doing something and somebody who is training this child cannot stop him from what the child is doing. This is what it means. So if you see a child, if you bring the child under my care, and the child is misbehaving, I should just look on without displaying this child, without asking the child to do what is right for the child's own good. Forgetting that you think that you are the only one as a parent, this is my child. But the child belongs to us as a nation.
Society.
The society. The child belongs to us.
The consequence, everybody bears
it. So it doesn't affect you alone.
If he becomes an armed robber, it's a threat to the whole society.
Yes. If the child becomes a leader or a manager or head of any institution, and the child is so indisciplined, and that is why, you saw that at the parliament, where some ministers of state, that we call them honorable, go and hold somebody something. Now go back to the youthful days of this person. Go back and you see how disciplined this minister today, who is this so-called minister today, who is a policymaker. What do you think this minister would do when we are making policy, trying to punish people? Because this is what he has been doing, and therefore you will embrace this, you accept it, that we should do it like that, because he sees nothing wrong, and we are using this to build a nation. Where are we going? A minister hold be called honorable. As somebody, I think that for me, if you ask me, this so-called honorable name, the title honorable, given to anybody who automatically becomes a minister, should be reconsidered.
No, but even in the real setting, the usage of that word or that title is even abused, because it's a title that's supposed to be used in the chamber. It's not something that you just use it on the wayside. Everybody calls you honorable. Now you've come down, assemblymen will be after
how honorable.
We've just cheapened the whole
for
title.
Some of them. You go and lie, you stand in front of people, you lie, and you say that's a political talk, and you call yourself honorable.
And the youth are learning, the students are learning,
they are learning from them,
they've seen it. You see, and in the midst of all this. This evening, when I was coming to the studio, I was thinking about this. And the question that comes to mind is, or the statement that I'm making is, it also shows the failure of the church.
That is what I was coming to.
When I was in secondary school, churches apply. They come to the school, preach Sunday service, pastors are coming. It was, you see, so if the church in the community cannot make an impact in the school in that community, the church has failed. Because you see, except where like the school is not allowing anybody to come and preach there at all, we have those instances. That's a different case. But where there's the opportunity that churches can go and preach in schools, the question is, why are churches no longer interested in preaching in schools? So apart from the SU that has the student reps and the student leaders and the students, and then the SU executives from the region that help and coordinate things and all rallies and all, what are churches doing with student outreach? How many churches are interested in reaching out to the students. You know, even the church, come to the churches, students in the church go to school. Is there any follow-up? Is any youth pastor or any leader calling the students to check on them? I remember when I was in school, it's sad. I mean, how things have shifted over the years. You have leaders in some churches, they will come to the members of the church, they'll come and meet them, pray with them, encourage them, talk to them. It was happening. I remember where I was then. They will send somebody to go like Cape Coast, the Cape Coast schools, go and visit all the students in the Cape Coast schools. You see, the church was showing interest. So it's not just about you come to church and come and give offerings alone. When you go to school, the church also showed concern. Now, how many churches do any follow-up of any sort when the students leave the church and go to school? Till they come back, most nothing. No communication. So if the child goes to school and for the 3 months or whatever, he decides to misbehave, quote and unquote, it will sadden you to know that some of these people who are misbehaving as ruffians and rascals in schools, when they go home, they are going to church with their parents. When they go home, vacation, they are going to church with their parents. So where is the Christianity in them? Where is the Christ in them? You see, something is missing, because the Christianity that we are professing, the Christ we are professing now to the youth, they are not seeing it being there. They are not seeing the adults living that right life to make it challenging to them that let me also be like this. So it's like it's just by mouth. Mm-hmm. Oh, Charlie, I'll be Christian. Now I'll be Christian. But in reality, they just see it as just a mouth talk.
As a minister, ordained minister of the gospel, I think the church, we have failed.
Oh yeah.
And we are failing, and it's getting worse. Uh-huh. I'm saying it in a sense that now I think that the writer maybe will talk about evangelism.
Yeah.
Now, go to our churches. What's the percentage of money that we have allocated for evangelism?
As for that issue, if you go, the trouble will come. If I start firing on that one,
how much? Now let's come to the issue that you were just talking about. I have been in the youth and children ministry for a very long time. Mm-hmm. I think at the age of 14 or something that I started. Now, we used to go to the schools.
Yeah.
Now, if you're a Sunday school member, mm-hmm, or a child, now the teachers would either come there. Sometimes we will send some people, either some of your peers,
yeah,
to come with a teacher to come and visit you. Mm-hmm. So we know that the whole time, this teacher is going to this place, this teacher is going to this place to visit the person.
The members, yeah.
Yes. So when we do that, then we go, when we go to their schools, we talk to them, we want to know how things are going. Yeah. Now, when this thing happens, always when you are even doing something which is not right, it brings you back to the church.
Oh yeah.
Because you know that the church cares.
Yeah.
But today, how do we even give money to people to do that? We don't even think about it. Go to some of the churches. Mm-hmm. The children ministry, the youth ministry, which some churches I say are the backbone of the church. Some of them even don't have any place of worship. But if you look at the chairs that the adults are sitting on in the church, and the children don't even have any place to even worship.
Yeah.
They don't have any training program for the teachers.
Yeah.
They just call them, we want children, we want people to come and help with their children ministry.
I think it's just a help, just come and help.
But this children ministry is a ministry on its own.
It's a focused one.
It's a ministry on its own, and it's not so easy.
And that's the starting point. If you get it wrong there, you've messed up.
And even in education, those who are teaching the KG, it's a skill that you need.
Yeah.
If you don't have, it's not everybody who can teach at KG, but everybody can teach at SHS, or they can just you just read and come. But for you to come down to that KG,
it's a specialized.
You need the skills to do that. How many people have been trained for that? We just ask them, they come and they just go and teach anything to them. In these present days, when people don't study the word of God, parents don't have time to do quiet time with their parents. Mm-hmm. This is the time that churches need to invest in Sunday school or children ministry and the youth ministry, because the youth are so much exposed to a lot of things. So how do we direct them? Because they are at a crossroad and the roads are many. Those days used to be maybe two. Why? It goes right or left. And now these days, the roads are so many that you are so confused.
That's exactly the
you way. Don't know. Some of them are so deceptive. It looks like this is the right way.
Yeah.
But it is also leading you to hell.
You know, to cut to you, this week I saw a video of Archbishop Duncan Williams talking passionately about it's time we raise our children to be warriors, spiritual warriors, because, I mean, if we don't really do that, can they stand the times we are in and the times ahead? And I mean, when you came, you know, I was on phone with a friend in Accra, I mean, and we're discussing these things. Because, you see, she was telling me about, I mean, one of the children, the challenges she's having with her and all that. So I brought this issue and we're discussing it. And you see, this generation is unique in various ways. I keep saying it on this program that the challenges of parenting that this generation we are seeing, no generation in this world has ever encountered this.
Mm.
I mean, no generation, and it's even going to be more complicated in the next few years with AI and all the complications of technology and all that's coming up. So it's either we really build children who are solid spiritually, or we'll lose the race. We'll lose it. Mm. We'll lose them. I was telling my friend, and let me just repeat it. Deuteronomy 6 gives a specific instruction. Yeah, let's read it. I mean, we have time, so let me just read it to help our listeners. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and where it talks about teaching them the word of God. So let me just go straight to verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently. Not just casually. Not just, I mean, some halfway. Diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, or when you are in the car, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontless between thy eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates.
Mm.
This is how serious the instruction God gave them.
Mm.
Now I discussed this with Pastor Roger somewhere last year, a few months ago on this program. You go to Daniel, I said, how come Daniel, I have a shaman.
Do you know me?
Judges chapter 2. And you have this sad case where it says, verse 7, Daniel, Judges 2:7, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, that's the same Joshua generation, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. They buried him, the border of his... Okay, let me skip. Then verse 10, Judges 2:10. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them. This is the generation just after Joshua, which knew not the Lord, nor yet worked the works which the Lord had done for Israel. It's a very sad case. Verse 11, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed the other gods and the gods of the people that were around about them, and bow themselves unto them and provoke the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. The generation that Daniel chapter 6 was written to, it shows how they failed. Because if they had done it, they had taught them diligently. So I was telling my friend, I see the Joshua generation, they failed. Joshua and his generation failed because they didn't adhere to the Deuteronomy chapter 6. Because if they had done it, the instruction was clear. Do this. If you read that whole chapter, you really see that God knew this will happen. So let them know the word fully and the works of the Lord. Sadly, Joshua dies and his generation and the next generation, not the next two generations, the next generation just after Joshua didn't know the Lord. What happened?
And the unfortunate thing is that I think verse 6, it says that the Amplify.
Okay, which one?
The Amplify Bible, verse 6.
Deuteronomy or Judges?
Judges. Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy
it says that, yes. And these words which I am commanding.
It's a command, yeah.
You this day shall be first in your mind.
Yes.
And in your hearts. Now, this generation.
Yeah.
For those of us who are adults, these words were in our minds and they were in our hearts. Yeah. And look at what we are doing. Now, talk about those who don't have these words in their hearts and in their mind. Even those of us who had it in our minds and our hearts, look at what is happening. And what about those who don't have this in their hearts and in their mind? What kind of generation are we producing? What are we going to see?
It's a serious issue.
And I was saying that the church,
and then verse 12, the Deuteronomy 6. The consequence, if they don't, the consequence is, it says that, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shall swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the people which are round about you. And that's exactly what they did in the, Judges chapter 2. The same thing. Yes. That, you see, so it's a consequence. If you
do this,
you diligently teach them the word, they would remember God. They will fear God. They will do what is right. If you don't, they will forget God. And that's exactly what we see. The first time I really studied this connection, the Deuteronomy 6 and the Judges 2, I was really worried, because if this generation that saw the hand of God, knew God, and all the works that God did, the wars that they fought, Ai, they fought, they walked around Jericho. If that generation, this Joshua generation that did this and saw this, the hand of God in all these things, they couldn't impart this into their children to the point where they died and their children didn't know God. It means this issue, this generation as we are in, we have to be very careful, because if we joke, so that's why I didn't plan, so that I wish God, in next week I'll play Archbishop Duncan Williams' message. It's about 7 minutes, but it's a very passionate call to parents. And he was talking, because he has one of his son's issues and all, so he was talking passionately. He cited pastors whose children have died from drug overdose and all that. The reality is, you can be a Christian as a parent and you can lose your son and your daughter.
Sure.
And this is something which we shouldn't joke with it, because especially the warfare that the devil has pushed now to the body of Christ, it's not a serious war. It's not a small warfare at all. And we are, so you see, you know, in our conversation, like when we're chatting, we're saying that where we are now, it's not just enough to just, have you done your quiet time? It's not enough now. It's not enough for the child. Have you done your quiet time? That's not enough. It should be real. You see, the thing should be really imbibed in them. There should be a real effort. You see, that's what the Deuteronomy 6 is, diligently. You see, so now we shouldn't just leave it to them to do their own thing. The parents should diligently do the teaching.
And the church should also not leave the schools to politicians. Now let me ask.
If
Catholic,
mm-hmm.
Catholic,
yeah,
decides that this is what we want things to happen
in our schools,
in our schools,
they insist. And
can a politician come and say that? No, I still insist that this thing should be done. No.
Yeah.
They can take away. I mean, if Catholic decide to run UWAS by themselves without any support from
they can run it
from
GES,
they can run it.
Oh, yeah.
People will rush to take their children to UWAS. If Wegehe Methodist Church decides that we don't want any GS support, we want to run Wegehe in a Christian way, well disciplined.
Yeah.
It will happen. So the churches, we are failing.
Yeah.
We are failing because if we stand up and we say that this is what we want to do, it will no politician.
And the failure is even, I would say, double in the sense that even though government has a hand, it's mainly paying the salaries, running like the school. I mean, government pays for the salaries of the teachers and all that. But the schools, your hands have not been taken off. So Methodist Church, for instance, you've not been, you can't, you still have an influence.
We have private schools that do where they are taking their money. No, government is not paying anybody. I mean, you have private schools.
I mean, my point is, even if government is paying the salaries of the teachers, what stops you from Sunday preaching to them?
For the preaching, they even do it.
No, but you see, the impact, because it's the real running it as a Christian school. It's what I mean. Really run it as a Christian school.
Yes,
you pay the salaries, but we will run it as a Christian school. But it's like we just watch and the system, there's no discipline. And a teacher sent a message. And a teacher said, it's a sad one, but it's the reality. I've said it here before. And let me. Even within the school, some pastors and churches outside tell their members in the school not to go to SU.
It happens. And I think this is where we need to go back, because going back, years ago,
uh-huh.
we had after school chair service,
yeah.
the only group you have is Scripture Union.
Uh-huh.
And then other social clubs,
yeah.
like reading club and
debate club
yeah, and drama, other things. Yeah. Uh-huh. These were, so a lot of people went through Scripture Union, and mm-hmm. these days we have allowed a lot of churches to operate in the schools. We have allowed a lot of so-called spiritual groups mm-hmm. to operate in the school. So because of this, we have few people going to SU. Now others will also not go to their church. Mm-hmm. I mean the group, their church yeah. in the school, they will not go there. And if this happens, it means that we have a lot of people that religious activities will not go through them.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we had those days when we had only SU, and we had some people who never went
to
SU, but
yeah.
at least they knew about it, and they knew that. And you meet people and they say they couldn't go because of the way they were.
Yeah.
Yes, we know that we are sinners. That is why we accepted it.
SU,
I know that I cannot. Yes. But this is not like that.
You know, let me say something funny. I remember that secondary school time, and we bought SU, we had this, you know, those like ghetto blaster. I mean, not a cassette, double cassette player. We used it for SU. We bought it there. And then one of the prefects was in SU, and he just whatever they went to use it for entertainment program. When they finished, one of the SU people, hey, we have to go and pray and deliver. Deliver the ghetto blaster. It's been used to play secular songs are played out of it.
Yeah, and it's happened because they know that for SU had a standard, and because they could not mm-hmm. get to that standard,
yeah,
so they were seeing themselves as people who were far away from that standard. Uh-huh. They wish they could,
but they respected SU.
They respected SU
people.
They respected people who were,
yeah.
and I think that we need to go back. Uh-huh. Churches need to sit up and yeah. say that no, we will not allow this thing to happen. We want to take back.
Uh-huh.
But I think that whether GS is paying teachers or not, schools pay tax. We are all Ghanaians. Mm-hmm. The fact that you are paying the school fees, the salary of teachers doesn't mean that we should allow you to influence.
Yeah.
Now during admission, don't we have people calls from Flagstar House, calls from all angles, asking teachers that they want their awards to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So if this thing happens, why don't we have control over the case? Let them know. I met one. There was a time I had gone to a place to do training program. Mm-hmm. And the organizer was Hajia.
Mm-hmm.
And she was singing Methodist hymns.
Wow.
I watched her and she was singing. I mean, sometimes she does that unconsciously.
Mm-hmm.
So in the evening, I think the second or third day, that's Hajia. How come you are singing Methodism? And she said that I forgot the school she went to.
Yes,
and she said that it was school. Compulsory.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That whether you are a Muslim, whether you are irrespective of mm-hmm. your religion, where you are coming from, you must, once you are in Methodist school,
comply.
Yes, you learn the hymns you will sing, and that is how come. It's and I enjoy singing it. And sometimes I forget myself. And this is what should happen.
It should get into you.
It should get into.
Yeah.
But we are not doing it. So how would it get into them? It will never.
Seriously, I support Nagrat if they were even to the point of threatening strike to force the government, GES, to back down on this bad policy that the previous government push up.
And churches should also do that.
You see, it's time. Christian Council should speak up. Bishops' conference should. You see, it's time pressure is put on the system.
SDA should do that.
They should come up.
Methodist schools, we have a lot of religious schools.
Yeah, they should come out and make statements.
So we should also come together and say that we are not, whether the government is saying yes or no, we are not going to allow this.
SDA
should sit up. They should say that in our school. Because if you go to, if it's a Valley View, that school, you have to be in white.
Yeah.
Yes, you have to be in white shirts and tie.
They have a dress code.
At the tertiary level, mm-hmm. they have a dress code. Why can't we do this? Why can't we insist discipline? That this is Catholic school, you cannot do this. If you fail, we are not promoting you. This is our policy. This is what we are going to do. Why can't we do this? Methodist Church and say that once you come to Wegehe, this is our policy. Once you fail, we are not going to promote you. Because we don't have only responsibility to preach the word of God, but we have to ensure that those who come through
our schools, they're disciplined. It's serious.
This is what we should be doing.
There should be pressure. I support Nagrats in this call.
And Christian Council should also implement it.
GPCC. They should all make statement, because you see, everybody is complaining, but who? It's like nothing is being done about it. Everybody is saying discipline is
too liberal. We are just allowing anything to happen.
You are just watching.
Where is our identity as a church?
Oh, no, it's serious. We really have.
Where
to
is our identity? So after school, what can they say about tax? That I went to Wigay, I went to Catholic school, I went to SDA mm-hmm. school, I went to Pentecost school, I went to Presby school. What?
The
can
values.
They say
what values
that you gave to them?
What values?
What value did you give to them? Because you see, sometimes you meet people and you can even tell where they went to school.
Mm-hmm.
The way you are talking, did you go to Presbyterian school? Mm-hmm. Did you go to this school? We could tell.
Those who went to Wege, when they see themselves.
The way they walk, the way they talk.
Yeah.
But today, can we say that? No. It is dying off. And this is the time that we should let what we have go through them. Once you come to our institution,
this is it,
so that you can go with it and say that yes, the school went through me. I went through school, and the school also went through me. Mm-hmm. Whether it's SDA went through me. Whether it's Methodist went through me. If it's Pentecost went through me. And once this thing goes through them, of course, some of them may fall off.
Yeah,
but definitely, even when they fall off, definitely we have people who still come back.
Yeah,
because that thing went through them.
It's very unfortunate, but I believe this is a clarion call to parents as well, Okay, let me read this last message from teacher. Okay, First Samuel 1:3 says, and this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And then First Samuel 2:12. Now the sons of Eli were the sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. So what happened between 1 Samuel 1:3 and 1 Samuel 2:12? They backslided. I mean, it's a sad case, you know. And it says, okay, a message I preached this Wednesday at school, a sad reality. And it's not only Samuel alone, like this is Eli's children, but Samuel's children too. It was because of the children that Israel demanded, they wanted a king, because his children too were bad boys, you see. And this comes back to what Archbishop was saying, you see, where if there's no deliberate effort, we can lose them, we can lose our children. And it's a serious warning, because you see, even years back, where the devil's agenda wasn't as high as it is now, if he was even still able to succeed, then we should sit up more and be more serious and focused, now that the whole agenda is well focused on the church, the body of Christ, the marriage, dividing homes. I mean, because now research shows, it's always been there anyway, but there's now emphasis of like how broken homes affects children upbringing. And you go to the prisons, most of the people, the younger age ones, are from single parents. It's a very sad, very, very sad issue. You see, so all these things, the devil is fighting the family system, divorcing, breaking divorce, all sorts of things. The family system is being attacked as it is. Then, fortunately for Ghana, ours is a bit okay compared to the West, where you have all sorts of attacks from different LGBT and all these things. But you see, there's an attack on the body of Christ. There's an attack on the family. So parents cannot just play games with parenting as if, oh, this is how we've been doing it all the time. The issue is, someone made a statement once, said, if you say that statement that when they grow, and the question is, what if they die before they grow? Mm-hmm. It's a very serious statement. Yeah. If you say, oh, when they grow, they would come off their senses, and they would, what if they die before they grow? And the devil is also not a fool. The devil is not a joker. He knows the game is playing. You see, so it's a serious call for parents to step up the game, that we cannot be parenting the way we've been doing all along. Yes, there are some who are doing it perfectly well. I mean, kudos to them. More grace. But the larger majority are not doing it the way that can let the children be ready for the times we are in and the times ahead. Because the times ahead, I mean, I'm not a prophet, but I can really say that it's going to be rough.
It is.
It's going to be very rough.
It's really
spiritually, if the children are not really warriors to fight spiritually and stand, it's going to be very, very difficult. The times ahead. So we really have to have a renewed mindset about upbringing in our children, the strategies we are using. The word of God should be, you know, Deuteronomy 6 is a chapter every parent should meditatively read it well, then just oppose it with Judges chapter 2 and see the consequence, the warning, the commandment of God, and then the consequence thereof, and see how it's reflected exactly in Judges chapter 2. It's such a major warning that every parent should adhere to it. And so that we review how we are doing Bible reading or whatever at home, and all the teaching, everything should be reviewed to really get it up as it should. Okay, so thank you for tuning in. And it's almost 9, and this is Eben, the program Issues of Life. Greetings to our listeners who have been contributing with various messages. It's recorded, it will be uploaded to spiritissues.info and to a Telegram, the Telegram group Spirit Issues. God willing, next week we'll be coming your way and continuing these discussions. And I believe Yes, some have questions, and if you have, you can send your questions ahead of time as well. So good night, and God bless you.
You're listening to the New Spirit FM, Christian hit music.